NREM Breaking News.
If you perused the table of contents in the December 17th, 2020 New England Journal of Medicine, you may have noticed a short article entitled Racial Bias in Pulse Oximetry Measurement. And I got to say, this title alone made me do a little bit of a double take. And after I read it, I really did like a spit take. After I cleaned up, I had a lot of questions, really focused around the point of how can a device have racial bias? Well, here to help answer that question is Dr. Alden Landry, emergency physician at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center and assistant dean of diversity, inclusion, and community partnership at Harvard Medical School. Alden, welcome to NREM.
Hey, thanks for having me. And as they say on talk radio, longtime listener, first time guest.
All right. Well, Alden, let's get to the bottom of this article. The bottom line here, what did the researchers report?
So we'll start with this simply. The authors of this study were looking at occult hypoxemia, which is when the arterial blood gas is 88% or less when compared to a pulse oximetry reading of 92 or more. The study looked at two patient populations. One was a large database and the other was specifically at this university that they were at. Essentially, what they found was that patients who identified as Black were more likely to have occult hypoxemia compared to their white counterparts. Now, specifically, when you're looking at the university cohort, the patient population, they were able to actually control for a number of factors that they weren't necessarily able to control for in the larger database. So they were able to look at sex, cardiovascular health, age, and SOFA scores. And as you know, SOFA score already has its own controversy in its own right. When you get into the data, this brief editor report to the New England Journal of Medicine, essentially what they found was Black patients were three times more likely to have occult hypoxemia compared to their white counterparts.
That's an amazing number, an amazing report. And this is really where I had my spit take moment. How can a device have racial bias? But that's what we see in this article. I got to have an answer to this, Alden. How can a device have racial bias?
So this goes back to the initial design of pulse oximeters. And I don't want to get too caught up in the specifics about how pulse oximeters work. But you have to remember that these are machines or devices that detect the absorption of certain light colors that have to travel through skin and tissue. When you look at the pulse ox and when they were designed, they were tested on lighter skinned individuals, which is really a polite way of me saying they were tested on white people. And so when you think about the limited patient population or the trial population that they were tested on, most of these individuals did not have a lot of variation in their skin pigmentation. So essentially, pulse oximeters were developed and calibrated to work on white skin.
Again, this is really surprising, and maybe it shouldn't be surprising to me or the readers or the listeners of MRAP that this is what happened, because we see this in a lot of different realms, right? We see this with chest pain. A lot of the things that we talk about as risk factors and presentations were derived in white men. Maybe that doesn't apply to white women, or it doesn't apply to other races. Occult hypoxemia, and I think this bears repeating, occult hypoxemia was missed by pulse ox three times more frequently in Black patients than in white patients. And we know that we do make decisions based on those pulse ox readings, nowhere more so than with the COVID pandemic. If a patient was 92%, I'm telling them to go home. If they were 88%, I'm probably going to keep that patient. And so we can see how this little thing, a couple of points difference, could make a huge difference in determinants of the patient's health going forward and what medications, what resources we bring to bear for that patient. So we can see how this can have a huge effect. This is a little bit more of a far-reaching question, but are there other instances where medical equipment has similar bias built in?
You know, it's a great question, but I would maybe rephrase the question and to say it as this. Have we looked at our devices and the tools that we have created in medicine to ensure that there's equity and biases removed from the equations? My concern as we move forward in medicine and we use more and more technology is that other forms of artificial intelligence or new devices will also have that same built-in bias because of how we design our products. Now, take, for example, the early stages of motion sensing video games for you gamers out there, or maybe even for us who wash our hands on a regular basis after we go into a public restroom. You think about those automatic soap dispensers or those water faucets. If you look at those early reports about video games, there were a ton of complaints from individuals who were Black or who had darker skin who said the games weren't picking up their motions because of one reason or another. And then if you look at all the TikTok or YouTube videos that are out there of young people, they go into the bathroom and they show you how a faucet or a soap dispenser will work for a white person, but not for that Black individual. This is because the technology that they were built upon is, again, calibrated towards those lighter skinned individuals. And as the developers built their products, they didn't think about how to be inclusive in those who were going to be the end users of their products. And so as developers, I think we've got to begin to be more inclusive of test and think about the communities and populations that are actually going to be using the products that are going to go out.
The motion sensor thing that you just brought up is actually mind-blowing to me because I always just thought it was just me. I thought it was me that was the problem. There are definitely times where I'm like, oh, I'm invisible. I am actually invisible. I've gained a superpower, and that's why this doesn't work for me, but it works for the person next to me. So I think that in itself really kind of shows the depth, how far-reaching this particular bias is in terms of motion sensors and things like that. Really interesting, but let's bring this back. Let's circle back to occult hypoxemia. From a House of Medicine perspective, how do we fix this issue?
Well, to be honest with you, we know how to fix this, but the problem is it takes work. It takes inclusion and intentionality whenever you do diversity in research, in developing new technologies, or in our systems-based practices. We have to make sure that whenever we bring something new on board, we ensure that it is applicable to all patient populations, not just the test populations that we use it on, or a certain segment of the population. This requires a more diverse, inclusive research trials. It requires that we do better testing of products before we apply them to the masses. Now, the FDA does have some inclusion metrics required for new products that go into the market, but we actually need to go back and test some of these older products that maybe have been grandfathered in. And as we think about it in research, the NIH is raising the bar on inclusivity in studies. I think the same expectation should be had for drug companies as well. The real complicating factor is that making sure that those expectations are met and not settling for what we think is promising or maybe just pushing something forward to the market. It's going to require upfront investment, and really, from a financial perspective, it's going to require a commitment to the engaging communities that have historically not been a part of medical research, at least not on the positive side of things. Medicine, and specifically medical research, has to prove itself trustworthy to communities that are less likely to participate in research studies and in clinical trials.
What do we do right now with pulse oxes? Because Alden, I can't change the technology. I can't go back in time and make it different. I don't own the pulse oximetry businesses that produce these things. Let's get a bit more pragmatic. As a practicing emergency doc, what do I do about this in my practice while I wait for that big fix to come?
Yeah, you know, I think this all goes back to the patient, right? Because ultimately what we're here for is to care for the individual that is in front of us in the emergency department. So if you're concerned about a patient, any patient, get an arterial blood glass to look for hypoxemia. While it's a bit more invasive, if you're truly concerned about hypoxia in a patient, it's the gold standard. It gives you a more accurate assessment of the patient's health status and may help you guide your clinical decisions on those borderline patients and their dispositions. Whether it's admission or if you're in a fancy place and you're well-equipped, send them home with oxygen. I do think it is okay to trust pulse oximeters to a degree in the emergency department. It is the tool that we have, and we have to recognize the limitations of it. And I would still encourage patients who have a pulse oximeter to have one at home, especially during the COVID-19 pandemic, because any amount of data may be good data, and something is better than nothing. So we need to bring those patients back to the emergency department if they do recognize that they have hypoxia, even if it's on a machine that may not be exactly calibrated to their skin.
The fact that you are advocating for using ABGs in those borderline cases tells me right there how big of a problem this is, because as emergency physicians, we hate arterial blood gases. We hate getting them on our patients. And it's not something that I really want to do because of the pain associated with it. I almost feel like I'm punishing people for the device's faults. So clearly we need an industry level fix. We need to fix pulse oximeters, make them better. And again, we see this across many different marginalized populations, whether it be darker skinned individuals. We also see this we've been talking a lot about in pregnant patients, nothing is tested. We have no idea what works for them. So we really need to overhaul the way that we're doing research, way we're doing development. But for right now, I think what we can do for the patient in front of us is if the pulse ox is reassuring, like you said, but the patient looks a little bit sicker than that pulse ox, take that into account and maybe say, well, maybe this patient's actually a little bit lower. So either I need to get a blood gas, or I'm just going to say this patient is probably more hypoxemic than the device is telling me. And so I need to be a little bit more aggressive in my care. It really is a big difference, especially when we see that the triggers for some of these medications for COVID-19, for hospitalization, for sending patients home with oxygen is really predicated on that pulse ox. Alden, this is really important stuff, and I'm glad that you were able to discuss it with us. I'm sure that we are going to find more and more of these as we actually start to pay attention to them, and we're going to bring you back on to discuss those things. Thank you so much for coming on and talking about this. And again, I think the take-home message is we do need to do a better job with the equipment that we have in development, but for now, just be a little bit more suspicious for that patient with dark skin in front of you if their pulse ox is reading okay, but you think that patient looks a little worse than that. And an ABG might be helpful there. Thank you so much, Alden.